Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So yesterday, we broke down D. Mays's 2024 wide receiver power rankings. Pro Football Focus put out a list of their own, so I thought, well, we have our own wide receiver experts, so I don't care about what Pro Football Focus thinks. I care about what D. Mays thinks. So D. Mays came up with his own. Yeah, I don't care about you.
No.
I care about D. Mays. D. Mays came up with his own list of power rankings, but as he was listing them out, I was kind of comparing it to the Pro Football Focus list just to kind of see, you know, what did you agree with, maybe what did, was who was on the list that maybe wasn't on Pro Football Focus's list. But before we kind of break it down and analyze your list, D. Mays, let's do a quick recap of your 2024 wide receiver power rankings.
Yes, my 2024 power rankings when it comes to receivers, Willie. I was off two numbers because we were trying to figure out, is that, I numbered them wrong.
That's okay.
So I had to add two people into the mix. So you will get to hear, Willie, the new two people that are on this list.
New and improved.
Well, I'm excited.
Exactly. New this and improved. So we're going to go quickly because I want you to let me know what you think of the list. Quickly, starting from the bottom. 32, you got Michael Pittman Jr. 31, I have Chris Godwin. 30, Garrett Wilson. 29, Terry McLaurin. Drake London, that's 28. 27 is Cooper Kupp.
Wow, so McLaurin's pretty low.
McLaurin's pretty low. Yeah.
That you've got him lower than I may have thought, mm-hmm. And I haven't done the list to compare, so I'm curious.
Okay, 27, Cooper Kupp. 26, Christian Kirk. 25, Garrett Wilson. 24, Zay Flowers. 23, Puka Nacua. 22, Brandon Ayuk. 21, Keenan Allen. So that's the bottom 10 right there.
These are your guys.
Yeah, these are my rankings. Yeah, nobody else's rankings. Absolutely. Okay. So now we get into the top 20. At 20, I got Nico Collins. 19, I got DeAndre Hopkins. 18, Jalen Waddle. 17, George Pickens. 16, T. Higgins. 15, Deebo Samuel. 14, DJ Moore. 13, Calvin Ridley.
Ooh.
12, DK Metcalf, 11, Devontae Smith, and to round out the top 10, here we go. Amari Cooper at 10, Amon Ra St. Brown, 9, Stephon Diggs, 8, Devontae Adams, 7, 6 is Jamar Chase, A.J. Brown is 5, CeeDee Lamb is 4, Mike Evans, 3, Justin Jefferson, 2, and we all know who's number 1, Tyreek Hill.
Treylon Burks.
I wish Treylon was in this list. I wish I could put Treylon, and I mean that seriously.
I wish I could put Treylon Burks,
yeah, on this list. So, but that is my top 32 wide receivers for 2024. How I rank these, my qualifications or whatnot for rankings isn't all based on numbers. Is based on productivity, meaning guys that have done it for a long period of time, guys that did it last year, and what I project them to do in the future. Because I know many people are listening and they're thinking, well, Mike Evans, why is he in the top 5? Well, Mike Evans has been doing it for 10 years straight, mm-hmm. and he hasn't lost a beat. He's been the most consistent wide receiver in the National Football League over the last 10 years. And I would dare to ask anybody to debate me on that because the numbers bear it out. He don't miss many games, if any. The guy is a consummate pro. He shows up and shows out just about every game. But every season, he shows up and he shows out.
He is your guy.
That's my
guy. You love Mike Evans.
That's my guy.
That is, yeah. If I just heard anybody, if we had Nick read a list and say, whose rankings are these? I would say that's D-Mace. Because these names, I you have always sung the praises of Mike Evans. You have certain traits that you really like. So I think you probably have him rated higher than a lot of people would have, especially based on the stage of his career. But I'm not surprised you have him there. I also think that you have D-Hop and Ridley higher than most people would have him. Have those two guys at this stage of their career. Is that fair?
Yeah. And the funny thing about it, Willie, is that I think PFF has Hop ranked higher than Ridley. Somebody has
Ridley's not on the list.
Somebody has D-Hop ranked higher than Ridley. And I'm not sure which, and I forget which
D-Hop's
one it was.
D-Hop's at 17 on PFF's list. Ridley's not on the list.
And that is a head scratcher for me. What about you? And I tell you why it's a head scratcher for me, Willie, but I want to hear what you got to say about it.
About Ridley not being on the
list? Yeah, about Ridley not being on that list.
Well,
because you're talking about 30, what is it? Their top what?
Top 32?
Top 32 receivers.
Roman Dunze is on the list.
Roman Dunze.
Malik Nabers is on the list.
After you finish,
they haven't even taken a step at the NFL.
After you finish saying what you got to say, Willie, I really want to dig into PFF for because that's crap. That is true crap. That makes no damn sense whatsoever. And I will tell them that. That makes no sense that they need to be. It blows my mind how these three guys, they may turn out to be great, but how are they on the list? Go ahead, Willie.
I think you and Taylor Lewan could have a good vent session because on that Bussin' with the Boys, Taylor Lewan did have a fun section of the conversation talking about the PFF, the good and the bad, the reputation. Mm-hmm. Right. If you grade well, you know, it sounds good, but you also want to have that, hey, I didn't grade well, but I think I'm playing pretty well. I'm going more with what my coaches are saying. Mm-hmm. But there are some red flags, I think. I haven't looked at Pro Football Focus. I don't subscribe to them, but you guys know I looked at a lot of Aaron Schatz numbers, and there's some other numbers that I like to look at that are on Pro Football Reference. And I do think there are some red flags with Ridley, especially now that we know this. When you get paid more, there's high expectations. And like we've vetted a lot with the DeAndre Hopkins. What does he do well? What does he not do well? What do you need to prepare yourself for based on what you're paying him at this stage of his career? The catch rate for Ridley last year, even though he had 1,000 yards, was only 56%. That's a little low, especially for a guy that doesn't have, and you've admitted this, D-Mace, a ton of explosive play kind of numbers when it comes to yards per catch, only 13.4. That's down from where he's been before at his peak. Like when he was with the Falcons, he had the one great year before he got suspended where he had 90 catches in 15 games, 1,374 yards, over 15 yards a catch, 9 touchdowns, catch rate 63%. So the numbers he had last year, even though it wasn't a bad year for Jacksonville, all of those numbers were down. The yards per catch, the yards, even though he played more games, and the catch rate was down. So I think these are the things I'm a little bit concerned with just because there's a lot invested in Ridley. And I want to see him looking more like the 2020 Calvin Ridley more than the 2023 Calvin Ridley. And now he's going to be 30 years old.
Look, that's fair.
Mm-hmm. No, it's all fair.
Because I have the same concerns. Mm-hmm. I have similar concerns of, look, he's 29, so it's not like he's completely out of his prime, but it's also not like he's a spring chicken either. Mm-hmm. He had a great year in Jacksonville last year, had a great year in Atlanta in 2020, and then obviously, of course, we know the 2021 season, that was the, you know, he took a leave for mental health, and then the gambling suspension in 2022. So it's been an incredibly, you know, up and down and tumultuous kind of career so far for Calvin Ridley. And if that's a projection of what he's going to be with the Titans is up and down, and I can't say that he's going to get suspended for gambling again because it's happened in the past, right? But I would agree with that. With the amount of money that the Titans are paying Calvin Ridley, can't afford to have an up and down. You know, he is being paid like a number one wide receiver in the National Football League.
Definitely those numbers are going to have to be better. They are going to have. If you are the number one guy, they are paying you over $20 million. Your numbers need to be better. And he has good numbers, but those are not. They're paying you like a elite receiver. for them. So the numbers need to bear that.
Yeah, again, getting paid like one doesn't make you one.
Absolutely. So, again, his numbers were good at Jacksonville last season. And they had their own issues with the health of the quarterback and how he played. So it everything wasn't – I try to look at his numbers and try to think, too, like, okay, maybe his numbers could have been a little bit better had Trevor Lawrence been healthier. And then that was really his first true season with the team, I believe, as a game in, game out starter. So those numbers may jump this season with hopefully the consistency with the quarterback and him playing every game. So I do hope or I believe the numbers will jump, but will they jump enough to justify me paying you like an elite receiver? That's what is going to be the question and everybody's going to be looking at, because he's your guy. He's your 10, 11 touchdown, a year guy for the next 3 or 4 years. He's your 1,300 yard guy for the next 3 or 4 years. He's your 85 to 100 catch guy for the next 2 to 3 years.
Because these are numbers that he's never really done.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. And he's getting older. So those are legitimate red flags that you brought up, Willie.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. But I like, if I'm a Titans fan, I certainly like your optimism that he can be. I'm trying to be realistic of what I would expect. But his catch rate has gone down every year of his career, and I don't know why that is. I mean, this is a new system. So obviously they have a vision, Brian Callahan does, of how they can get the most out of him. But I'm trying to temper my expectations a little bit. What you'd hate to see, right, because we didn't get this with D-Hop, and this is a big credit to him. I don't think anybody was disappointed in how he played, right? He had a good year. Everybody who was reasonable and saying, okay, I know I'm not going to get the 2015 D-Hop, but let's get good, solid play. I think he delivered on that. What you hate to see is a guy getting big money, and they're playing Ridley big money. Hopkins is more of, okay, let's make more of a veteran deal with this guy. If he's disappointing, you know what kind of noise that creates, right? It puts pressure on him. It's got everybody asking the coach and the quarterback, what's going on with Ridley? We're paying him all this money, and he's not delivering on that investment. That could be something that can create a lot of, stress on a locker room a little bit.
Yeah, it can. And you know, I think one of the things for me with Calvin Ridley that we just need to watch. D-Hop is great versus press. I think he does a good job at sort of that hand-to-hand combat at the line of scrimmage, getting off the line of scrimmage, getting moves. He does that very well. He used that short space quickness to his advantage. He doesn't have the long speed, but he has that short range quickness, and he uses it well. Ridley has trouble with press man-to-man. So are teams going to be willing to press in this lineup that the Titans have? Because I think it got a little bit difficult for Ridley once Christian Kirk went down and he became that guy, because you weren't getting much from Jones, I don't believe. But he became your guy in the tight end. He and Ingram were your two guys.
Yeah.
He did have trouble versus press coverage. Now – he may not face that as much because you got D-Hop on the other side and you got Tyler Boyd in the middle. So you may not face press coverage as much. But I am going to be watching this season versus press coverage. What are his numbers? You know, contested catches. Because D-Hop is one of the best when it comes to contested catches.
Totally.
Can Calvin Ridley, because Calvin Ridley doesn't have that blazing down the field speed. He has good speed, but not blazing speed. So people are not going to be afraid to press him. What is your catch percentage on contested catches? You know? So.
Let's hear your beef on PFF.
Yeah.
My beef with PFF, it just, oh my goodness.
Okay, we're looking, it so D-Mace made curse. His own 32.
It made me want to curse. Seriously. It makes me want to curse.
Get into it.
Because.
Don't do it on the radio.
Yeah, I'm not
going to
do it.
Do it during the break.
Yeah, I do it during
and
the break.
And make sure Nick has your mic on.
Yes, please, D-Mace. We don't need nothing.
Okay.
There's been all sorts of Titans leaks this week, you know.
Okay, so This is
you're
what
not
I,
on Busting with the Boys.
This
right
is
now.
What yeah. I don't understand. Roma Dunze, he's an excellent college player, but has he played a down? Has he played a down? He's barely caught footballs. He barely caught a NFL football. He's barely caught NFL footballs. Hadn't played a down or a season. Hadn't walked into an NFL stadium where the crowd's there. And he hadn't heard the national anthem on an NFL level. He hadn't seen the planes go across on an NFL level. Nor has Marvin Harrison Jr.
Who's above Keenan Allen,
exactly.
Jalen Waddle,
nor has
Metcalf, Chris Olave, Drake London, Michael Pittman, George Pickens, Chris Godwin, and T. Higgins.
And nor has Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
PFF, please have a conversation with me, because this is damn stupid. And I'm going to say that. This is damn stupid. That's like rewarding someone for something they have not done. Oh, I'm going to give you – you won the lottery even though you didn't play. I'm going to give you $300 million from the lottery, and you didn't play, but here you go. That's asinine. Complete asinine, PFF. I agree with some of the stuff that y'all do. I love it, like looking at individual players and how they played and go back and watch the film and then sort of mirror it up with PFF and how they – I enjoy that, you know. But this right here is asinine. Asinine. That's what it is. It's a list that, why did you throw these guys in? I don't understand it. Michael Pittman Jr. has been in the league 2 years, and he's a good player. How's Roma Dunze, Nabers, and Harrison over him? Okay? Who else they have over? Malik Nabers over Drake London, over Chris Olave. These guys haven't sniffed a down. They haven't even smelled the grass of an NFL field, stadium yet, in game day. So how in the hell are you going to put these guys on the list? I don't get it. This makes no damn sense. These three guys do not deserve to be. They don't deserve to be on the list. They don't. Were they great college players? Absolutely. If you want to put them on a college list, put them on that list, and they'll probably be 1, 2, 3. Put them on the list. I have no problem with that. But when you start to try to put them on an NFL list, this shoots all your credibility down. Because these guys hadn't sniffed a smell. They hadn't sniffed grass in the NFL on game day. And y'all got them ranked in the top 32. That makes no damn sense to me.
It's the same thing as the FanDuel list that had Will Levis ranked as the 32nd quarterback in the National Football League behind J.J. McCarthy and Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. They hadn't even been drafted yet.
And my theory is, because I'm a conspiracy theorist, my theory is y'all in bed with all these people's agents. Y'all in bed, and y'all, I would say y'all getting some kickback, or y'all get to have that. I don't know. Something has y'all putting these guys on this list that don't deserve. They may deserve it next year when you redo your list, or the year after that when you redo your list, because some of these guys may fall off, like my list. Some of these guys may fall off. But today, this year, they don't deserve to be on the list.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. And anybody that tries to justify this, you must don't know football, because you cannot rank somebody in the top 32 that hasn't played a game in the National Football League. And look, I might as well throw LeBron sense. James
I
over
agree
here.
With that.
You may as well.
I might as well throw LeBron James.
You'd be a great receiver.
Yeah, you'd be great.
What number is LeBron? 6 or 23?
Six. I'm going to throw Russell Westbrook on here, too.
Close my eyes and point and say, yeah,
exactly.
You there.
Anthony Edwards, he played football in high school. He's a damn good football player. I'm throwing Anthony Edwards on the list.
And look, Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze and Marvin Harrison, they may end up being.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
They probably will end up being top 15, top 10 receivers
but
in the NFL
reserve
one day.
Them for next year.
Not now.
Yeah. It makes no sense. And anybody that agrees with that on PFF, I don't know what to tell you.
This goes back to my beef that I had yesterday. Will, we played a clip from the Athletic Football Show podcast, and Mike Sando called the Titans a cupcake game for the Chicago Bears. Well, said at least Caleb Williams starts the season off with a cupcake. I'm like, I'm sorry, is Alabama playing butt crack State University? Like, is that what this is? Is this Georgia Mercer?
On the record, I told you the day the schedule came out that I felt like the Bears will be a favorite in that game. So
but a cupcake? Cupcake
is ridiculous. It's a toss-up game. But I think a lot of Titans fans are saying, oh, you got the Bears. You can They can beat the Bears. But I want perspective on that. I do think the Bears, because it's at home, will be favored in that game over the Titans. And people shouldn't panic when they see that.
But and it goes but back
cupcake,
to the point.
If they're not a cupcake, Bears, yeah. It's like you think that's,
with what looks like a cupcake,
you know, like
you're home against Tennessee, Will Levis coming in. I mean,
yeah, well, it looks like a cupcake at home against Tennessee. Like, can we stop crowning rookies as the next greatest gift to football before they even play a snap? Like Caleb, like Mike Sando talking about Caleb Williams out getting past the Titans and Will Levis, it's going to be no problem. I think Caleb Williams is going to be a great quarterback in the NFL, but I don't know that. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about Caleb Williams like he's some veteran. This is his first game in the National Football League. It's the same thing with the receivers. Mm-hmm. Can we let them be great in the NFL before we label them as NFL greats? How about they earn it first? How about they do it first? It's exhausting.
I don't get it. And it makes me question when you do lists like this. Are these just names you're throwing on there because you're getting toward the end and you can't? It's like, I don't want to do the work to find. And I don't believe that, because you do so, you know, PFF does so much work at putting all these, you know, grades on players and going back and watching. So I don't want to believe that, but you threw these guys on the list and they have not caught a pass in the National Football League. They may turn out not to be great players, but y'all have them on the list. Why? Can you tell PFF, would you be able to tell me why you have this on them on the list and they hadn't played a down in the National Football League?
That doesn't make any sense. I would like to hear an explanation, really. I'd love to have somebody on from there to tell me why that is. They must have a reason, but it doesn't make any sense.
Like,
because you're not going on grades that they've earned through the league play.
Exactly. Right.
That's what I thought the whole thing was based on.
One texter texts in, says, D-Maze, it's just someone else's opinion. Ease up. It's a dumb opinion.
It's a dumb opinion. I'm going to call this one a dumb. This one is dumb. It's dumb because you're adding three guys to a list that haven't even played in an NFL game. That's why this list doesn't make sense. This causes me to say the whole list don't make sense. I'm throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and I know you shouldn't do that. But when you put those three guys on there, it's like that list. Give me another list. Anybody that has these three guys on their list, don't
scrap
talk
it
to
and
me.
Start over.
Start over. I'm gonna give you another opportunity to take the test. Go ahead, take the test.
You only get one more chance.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Now get another one.
I bet
that.
Not be the same. I bet not see the same answers. I bet not be the same answers for those answers that you got wrong. You bet not put C again. Oh, I look at it.
Ask D-Mace coming up next. Get those questions in for Derek Mason. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. All of the above coming up next for Ask D-Mace. Caroline Willie D-Mace. Tune into 102.5 The Game tomorrow as the Nashville Cats take on the Orlando Predators on the road. Only room for one Predator in this town, and it's the Nashville Predators. Pregame at 5:30 p.m. and kickoff at 6 p.m. with coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Cats football coverage presented by Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mace. Get those questions in for D-Mace. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your calls. We will take your texts. Any questions that you might have for D-Mace, get them in now. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. D-Mace, you ready?
Let's go.
Let's get it. Josh Texan says, hi, D-Mace. I want to ask you about the touchdown you scored with the Ravens against the Lions, where you took that big hit after catching the ball, but still were able to run it into the end zone. What was going through your mind on that play? And it looked really painful. 09 season against the Lions, week 14.
That's what was going on. That hurt. Damn, that hurt. But it's like, you know, it's like one of those, like, delayed reaction things. and we all have them, and you see something, and you see somebody, and maybe they fall, and then they get up, and then all of a sudden they walk, and then they start limping. It's almost like that delayed reaction phase, like you expected them to, you know, roll around when they fell, but they didn't, and they get back up, and it's like,
that actually hurt.
That did hurt.
Yeah.
That's how it was with me. It was a, you know, Joe did a good job at trying to protect me. It was raining. You know, my hometown team, we were playing the Detroit Lions in Baltimore, catch a slant pass. I take a hit from the safety and take another hit from the corner. It was like simultaneously and, you know, was able to stay on my feet and score a 62-yard touchdown. But it wasn't until I got in the end zone where I was like, oh, that hurt. That really hurt. Because I was I was already dealing with a broken scapula. I had a torn rotator cuff. Had dislocated my shoulder, but they had popped it off. It didn't happen in that game, but it happened like three games prior. We were playing Houston, and all of that happened all in one play. So it was more so that than the actual hit. Like you hit me right on my shoulder and my chest, right on the side of where my scapula was broke. But it wasn't until I got in the end zone, like, oh man, this really hurts. So,
yeah. Ouch.
It was brutal.
Ouch. Good. Was that the play-by-play we played the other day? It was a 65-yarder?
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Eric's on the line, our guy, with a question for D-Mace, and of course a dad joke as well. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. First of all, I really wish to both of you and Willie that, you know, and all the listeners have a great, safe Memorial Day holiday weekend.
You, Hopefully, be able to
stay dry with all the stuff, the thunderstorms and everything. But I do have a dad joke, but I'm going to give you a heads up. This may be a groaner, I don't know, so I'm just going to throw it out there. Okay, hey, did you hear
about
the
guy?
That's
a good dad joke. A groaner is really what you're trying to get,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Hey, did you hear about the guy who invented the lifesavers?
Lifesavers or like a lightsaber Star Wars?
Lifesavers, you know, the candy.
Like the candy, okay, I got
it. Did I hear about him?
I haven't heard about this guy.
I haven't.
Well, you know, you know, he made a mint. I was not sure. So
I give it a thumbs up.
That's a dad joke. As they're saying it, they're laughing inside, and then the kids are looking at them like, "Dad, that really?
Come on, yeah." That's how it feels. Something like that. My question to D Mace is this: the NFL schedule was released, of course, last week. And one of the things people always talk about is what do you prefer? Because I know Jeff Fisher said he would just prefer every game Sunday at 12 noon and all that type of stuff. Didn't care too much for the Sunday night games, the Thursday night games, the Monday night games, all that stuff, because, you know, rest disadvantage and all that type of stuff, because he just preferred the routine. You as a player, what did you prefer? Did you prefer to play just Sunday every day time at noon? Or were you kind of one of those guys, well, I like to play on the nationally televised games, especially the Sunday, the Monday, the Thursday night games, especially if they're at home in front of the fans? Did you want to be like the only person that played where everybody was watching, or did you prefer the routine of playing every Sunday at that noon schedule because of routine and just the disruption of routine? Guys, y'all take care. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
You're the best, Eric. Thank you.
Appreciate it. I know some guys. I think everybody in the National Football League loves to play that primetime game, loves to be on national television, love to be the only game on. That's every player. Because you want, you know, people that you love and, you know, people that you went to high school with and college with and all this other stuff, you want them to be able to see you. So every guy likes to play a national televised game Monday night. You know, Thursdays is kind of iffy because of the short week. But Thursday, Monday, Sunday night, everybody loves playing them. But me, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. Now, Thursday night games, again, as we got later in the season, it was like, oh, my goodness. But once you get the game day, it's like, let's go. Like, there's nothing we can do about it. Let's go. I got to get my body going quickly somehow, some way. But I would have played on Tuesday. I would have played on a Wednesday. I'd have played on a Thursday, not consecutively like every day. But if they asked us to play on a Friday, I'd have played on a Friday. Why? Because I enjoy playing football. I love playing football. I love being out there. So whether we were on a national stage, which I loved, or whether we were just regional, you know, it didn't matter to me because I was out there doing something that I enjoyed doing in front of our fans or either the opposing team fans. So to me, I didn't care, you know. But you love playing that primetime game. Everybody loves playing that primetime game.
Do you think it makes any sort of difference? Like for Will Levis as a young quarterback, this is his first season going into the season knowing that he's the starter. What, all but two games the Titans play this upcoming year are at noon on Sunday? Because there's the 3:30 or 4:30, whatever time that is, against the Chargers. And then the Dolphins game on Monday Night Football. Mm-hmm. So 15 out of 17 games, Will Levis is going to be waking up and getting ready for a noon game. Is there some sort of like mental at ease that a young quarterback might get and getting into a routine and knowing, okay, week after week after week, this is going to be my same routine and this is how I'm going to feel while doing it?
I think it is good, you know, for a young guy, because even though, you know, you're playing at basically noon, if you're here at home, it's one somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Because we're on Central Time. But I think it's good to have that routine with a younger guy. Like, I know, like, all of my games, with the exception of two, will be at a certain time. So I can get myself mentally prepared for that. I'm not playing a late game, you know, or whatnot. So I think that can be beneficial. But I'm sure Will Levis, if you ask them, you know, like, listen, yeah, it would be great if we had more national games. I think it would be great, which means they had a good season the previous year. So they have more, you know, nationally televised games. So, but again, whether you're a rookie, you know, or 15-year vet, I think you do like to have those primetime games. But if we have noon games, you know, majority of the time, I don't think it's a bad thing at all.
Let's get back into some of your questions for D. Mace. Alex from Franklin, Texas says, what do you think of Brian Callahan's public praise of Will Levis? Does he mean it, or is he trying to appease his bosses and everyone else?
I don't think he's trying to appease anybody. He doesn't come off as a guy that will just, you know, blow smoke in your face. You know, he seems like what he's saying, he believes it. And, you know, that's until you show him otherwise. I think he believes in Will Levis. You had to have had those thoughts of belief in Will Levis. You took the job, because we all know that you ain't taking a job if you don't believe you got a quarterback, because you're not going to have that job for long, you know, if you're not able to draft high enough to take one of these quarterbacks in the top two or three picks. So when he says that, I believe him. I believe him, because you wouldn't have taken his job if you felt your quarterback didn't have the ability to become a really good quarterback in this league. Because I'm sure, you know, when they were in this process, he watched film of Will Levis. You had to have watched film of Will Levis, because your job is predicated on whether he does a good job or not.
And that can be Brian Callahan's truth right now.
Yes, exactly.
That can change after a few weeks, mm-hmm. a couple seasons. Like, we talked about this yesterday, that Brian Callahan, if Will Levis throws three interceptions against the Chicago Bears and you lose by four touchdowns, I don't think Brian Callahan's going to get up at the podium and start praising Will Levis for all these things that he likes and talking about his toughness. If he does, that's just disingenuous. Mm-hmm. That for right now, this is Brian Callahan's impression of Will Levis.
Yeah.
We're very early in the relationship between those two. Things always can change. Mm-hmm. Right back into your questions for D-Mace after this. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you've got a call, text, and question for D-Mace, Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Ask D-Mace. Get those questions in for D-Mace. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Get your calls in. Get your texts in. Right back into your questions for D-Mace. Wes in Clarksville, Texas, and ask D-Mace, if the Titans offered you a coaching job, would you accept it?
I would have to think about it. You know, coaching isn't easy. Everybody can't do it. I think it takes a special individual to want to be a coach. because, you know, unlike a player, you know, at a certain time, you get to go home. I'm going home with my family. Coaches, you're there after, and you're there as long as you need to. You know, we need to get the game plan. Some nights are much longer than the others.
Early mornings,
and it's a grind, and you got to be prepared for the grind. It's a different grind from being a player, because, you know, at least for a player, the grind, you're able to then go on the field and, like, your frustrations and everything out, all that stuff that's built up, you're able to get it out on game day. You're able to just get it all out by play. Coaches, they don't. It's like, yeah, they may get it out, yeah, cheering and stuff like that, but still, it's totally different from, you know, how a player approaches, you know, things and how they go about their season. But it takes a special individual, especially, I think, now, you know, the mentality of some of the players. Not to say that the mentality, what they think is wrong, but you have to come at them. There's no more, you know, tough, you know, just be tough, or, you know, coming at them, you know, you can't just talk at them. You got to talk to them. You got to show that you hear them. You know, so that's what you got to do with the athletes now. Men or women, boy, girl, doesn't matter. They want to feel as if what they're saying is heard by coaches. So, you know, that's why a lot of old school coaches, some adapted to it, but some chose to, after a while, like, I don't want to do this no more. I'm a segue out of here. But if the Titans did call me, it would be an honor, for one. But I would have to think about it, because you can't take a situation like that lightly. You can't just walk in and say, oh, because I played 15 years and I was great at it, all of a sudden I can coach. I can coach kids. I can coach young kids. But I haven't coached a grown-up. That's different. It's totally different. Right. So, yeah, I would think about it, you know, and kind of go from there.
Always got to think about any opportunity that comes across your table. Willie D, are you spring fling bound?
Yes, the umpires are meeting with the coaches right now, so I've got to slide over to the NFHS network.
Mm-hmm.
So, good stuff today. Wish me luck for weather throughout the day, or else it's going to be a very long day like it was yesterday. We had two delays. In fact, there were situations where both teams had to get together to take the tarp off the field, and we have to have a conversation at some point with you two Cardinal fans about the former closer Jason Mott, who now coaches Memphis Christian Brothers. That guy is an unbelievable character, and I sent you guys a picture of his beard. He is one piece of work.
Let me tell you. Impressive beard.
It is very impressive. ZZ Top is impressed with his beard.
It's like, it's Santa Claus-esque.
It is, for sure.
Well, so have a great call, Willie. Good luck.
And have a great Memorial Day weekend. And Caroline, if all things go well, maybe Vanderbilt versus LSU on Sunday.
We shall see you in Hoover.
Okay. We'll see.
Shall see you in Hoover. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, Willie. Have a great call. We'll catch up next week.
All right.
Enjoy,
thanks, guys.
Willie.
All right. Enjoy it, Willie. Let's get back into some questions for D. Mace. What's the funniest thing that you've experienced during a huddle in a game?
Oh, man. Funniest thing. Guys dancing. There were several situations. Like, this is why, like, my love for offensive linemen is always there, because offensive linemen don't care. Like, if you are in the moment as a player, offensive linemen will tell you, get your ass back in the huddle. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Stop doing what, let's go. And that's what I loved about our offensive lineman here, in particular Brad. He always found a way to make sure guys, me or Kevin Dyson, we were back in the huddle. There had been several situations, like, you know, maybe it was Kevin, you know, arguing or talking to a player, or we're just dancing as the music going and in between huddles, and Brad, get in the huddle, get back in the huddle, get back in the huddle. It's like, Dad, shush, man.
Don't make me turn this car around.
Exactly. But no, and then other times, you know, Brad was like, Mason, get back in the huddle, damn it. You know, because I'm arguing with somebody, or I'm doing my own thing.
Gallivanting around.
Exactly. And he's screaming, get back in the huddle. So those moments were funny to me. Once, you know, as you look back on them, it was like, yeah. Yeah, but that's offensive linemen. They're like, man, stop up. We'll try get back in the huddle so we can get back on the line of scrimmage. Stop with all that other stuff, you know. So,
but they're just mad they couldn't
do it. Yeah, they were just mad they couldn't do it. You know, they're just mad.
They have special personalities for sure.
That they do.
Unique, I think, is maybe the better word.
But you gotta love them. You gotta love the offensive linemen.
Absolutely. Josh Jackson says, if you suited up this coming year, what would your receiving yard total be? Ooh. And do you think you can score a touchdown?
Do I think I can score a touchdown? Yes, I can. And not because I think I'm just superior over other receivers or defensive backs. It's just the way the game is. If the coaches want me to score a touchdown, I'll score a touchdown. I'm going to catch the ball. That's what I'm going to do. And they may set me up and put me in a position where, you know, based upon the coverage, I score a touchdown. That's just the way it is. So I think I would score a touchdown, but I'm not sure I would last the whole season. I'm just being honest. 17 games at 50 years old. Whew.
Possibly soon to be 18.
18? Yeah, man. I may get through the first three. After that, man, we need to check my hamstrings every week, my quad muscles. Everything, my back, my neck, everything. You need to check everything, each and every play, not game. Hey, Mason, you all right? Need some ice? You need something? Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not that arrogant to sit here and say, oh, yeah, this is how many yards I would have. I know I would score a touchdown, but that has nothing to do really with me. It's just the design of the play. I figure whoever I would play for, they would design a play to get me in the end zone. Now it's up to me to catch it. And I believe I will catch the football. That I will do. But I'm going to get down very fast. But I don't think I'll make it through a whole season.
Don't touch me.
Yeah, don't touch me. Please don't touch me.
Please don't touch me.
Just put in your contract. Like
nobody touch me, please.
Only a red zone threat, 20 in. That's just going to be in the contract.
Yeah. And there's only certain routes I'm running. So only certain routes I'm running. I run a go. I run a comeback. I run a curl. I'm not running anything toward the middle of the field unless we are in four wide receivers, three or four wide receivers, and y'all paying attention to everybody else, and they're like, oh, don't worry about that slow guy right there. And I end up catching a pass for a touchdown. That's typically what happens.
Don't worry about that old guy.
Don't worry about that old guy. He ain't gonna get nothing. And then I end up catching a touchdown. Now everybody mad. So there you go.
One texter's calling you a boomer for putting Mike Evans on your list. What? Maybe 3 years ago.
Oh my! Have y'all watched Mike Evans? The kid had 13 touchdowns last year, didn't he? Last I checked.
I haven't checked, but I'll take your word for it.
I think he had double-digit touchdowns last year.
Yep.
Let's see.
He did. He and Tyreek Hill led the league in touchdowns last year with 13. And he had over 1,000 yards.
1,250 yards, 13 touchdowns.
And how many yards did he average? What, like 13 yards?
16.
And you say I'm what?
Called you a boomer.
And you say I'm a boomer? Did you read off the numbers again? And these ain't just like, oh, he just had a great year that year.
1,255 receiving yards, 15.9 average, and 13 touchdowns.
That's
in 17 games.
Are those elite numbers?
Those are elite. Especially for a nine-year veteran.
Those are elite numbers.
Don't forget, still playing at 79 receptions, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It ain't like he was getting a bunch of opportunity. The kid is just a flat-out, I call him a kid because he's younger than me, but he's just a flat-out player. That's what he is. And people don't appreciate that. People don't, in this league, fans, and I'm going to say this because I believe this is true. Fans, sports writers, and even some talking heads, they don't appreciate consistency in this league. They want the wow. They want the, oh, this guy popped this year. I get that. That is great. And I like it too. But I don't want you to just pop every 1 year. I want you to be consistent in that. And there are some guys that have been consistent. And Evans is one of those guys. Look at his career. He's been consistent the minute he put on an NFL helmet. He was consistent. And he's been consistent 10 years later. He's still consistent. People don't appreciate that. You want to see the wilds. You want to see the dancing. You want to see all this stuff that these kids do nowadays. And it's great. I like seeing it, you know, because I never did it. But I like to see it. But you can't look at a Mike Evans and say, oh, why do you have? Well, if you ever watch Mike Evans play, you'll know why I have him as high as I do. But that's just me. because I look at the game totally different from a lot of other people. They look at it for the wow. I'm not looking at it for the wow.
Do you think part of the reason that is because he plays in Tampa Bay?
It could
When Tom Brady was quarterbacking now, in Tampa Bay, we talked a lot about Mike Evans.
We talked a lot about Mike Evans because of the quarterback.
Yeah.
But it did. It's sad that it took that for people to really notice how good Mike Evans is as a player.
Welcome to life in the NFL.
Exactly. So, but go look at Mike Evans' numbers. Go look at him play, and you'll understand why I have him as high as I do.
Someone said that you have a full no-touch clause in your contract.
Oh, yeah.
Don't touch me.
Yeah, don't touch me. Don't touch me. Nobody in the NFL.
It's in my contract. Yes.
Don't touch me, Dad. I'm going to have my contract in my back pocket just in case somebody forgets. I will pull out the contract. Line 4, section 8. Don't touch Mason when he catches the football.
Read the fine print, bucko. Can't touch me. $5,000 fine. Thank you very much. All right, coming up next. I know we talked about this with the Predators' first home game in the playoffs, game 3. I looked around and I was like, where the heck is everybody? Talked about Titans attendance over the past couple of years. And of course, there are several different factors there of team's not very good. I don't really want to go, or traffic for the Predators game. Several different factors. But whenever we talk about this and have conversations about attendance at games, there is one common theme, no matter what team we're talking about, no matter what time of year we're talking about. Could there be a change on the horizon and a change coming at the perfect time for the Titans' new stadium? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, back into your phones as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Purchase your tickets. That's awfully apropos. Now for the Music City Grand Prix at the Nashville Super Speedway on Friday, September 13th through Sunday, September 15th, and you can find those at musiccitygp.com. As the race and station, 102.5 The Game has a special offer that is for a limited time. Use promo code GAME, G-A-M-E, for a 20% discount right now through June 16th. You can also tune in for the Indy 500 race on 102.5 The Game this Sunday. Coverage begins at 10 a.m. and it is brought to you by Green Trees Company Dispensary, providing high-quality legal THC products.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.